and Zeus and Mr. Fancy Pants. The Flames need NFL news, and here's their chance. It's ATL around the league. Light a flame, boys. Pigskin's hot tonight. Burn, baby, burn.
Welcome to another edition of the Around the NFL podcast. My name is Dan Hansis, and I am joined by a founding member of the ATL Debate Club. That's what you just heard, our original intro music, Mark Sessler. What's up, boys?
Got to tell you, I mean, that was what, about 2012?
Yeah, we were trying to figure this out before the show. If anyone is familiar with the origin story of this podcast, it started as the ATL Debate Club, and I think it was around the late summer, early fall of 2012, which is a long time ago now.
Well, I mean, it took me, at this point, nearly half a decade to erase the memory of the worst nickname I've ever been given in my life by Dave Damashek, Mr. Fancy Pants, based solely on my Twitter handle having NFL tagged onto it. And it's now back in the bloodstream of listeners. That's terrible.
Well, that was a bit of a reach there by Damashek, who, of course, was on our Tuesday show. If you haven't checked that out, Sheck and I did a show on Tuesday together. But, yeah, Sheck gave Mark the nickname Mr. Fancy Pants because he had his Twitter handle had an NFL at the end of it, and that was deemed to be a little bit.
Well, as I've explained multiple times, there was another, at the time, Mark Sessler on Twitter.
Right.
And by the way, that, you know, Colleen Wolf has NFL at the end of her handle as well.
And
so
people call her Mrs. Fancy Pants, so that makes
sense.
Well,
I haven't heard that, but.
And I was called Han Zeus, which stuck to the point where people still call me that at NFL Media to this day, unaware that Sheck was intentionally mispronouncing it for Hollywood reasons. Sometimes
gotta
show business thing,
yeah,
is how he explained it. Anyway, welcome to the Around the NFL podcast, sponsored by no one, beholden to no one. Play by our own rules, Mark. The group gets back together on Monday. In fact, on Saturday is the annual WrestleMania off-season spectacular at Chris Wessling's seaside abode that you and I will both be at, and Greg as well. Well, hopefully Wes will be there as well. Get us all back together, and then come Monday, the show returns, and that's when we really start to gear up for the training camp and the beginning of another season together.
Yeah, I mean, we're hearing whispers. You know, Greg is a great dad, number one, and he...
By the way, is he in Japan?
Do I sound far away?
No, is Greg in Japan?
Oh, is Greg in Japan? No idea. No, I think he's doing somewhat of a staycation with the family. But, you know, he has, as almost religiously, always brought his young daughter to WrestleMania. And, you know, there are whispers at this time he will be child-free, which will really allow Greg to behave the way he did back in his youth when he was a real troublemaker, according to sources.
Yeah, we might see him have two drinks.
Well, and it's no place
wild
for children, let's be honest. From what the last few WrestleMania slash, you know, Wes events, it's not a place to bring a toddler.
Well, here's the thing. I was talking to someone downstairs about this. You know, I'm a married father of one with another on the way. You have two kids. You're married. Most people in our social circle have that type of those commitments, and, you know, getting away on a Saturday either is not happening or involves bringing your child or showing up later or showing up earlier. It's just, it's a bit of a dance to make things happen on the weekends. But since Wes has
a beautiful dance.
Yes, a beautiful dance. Since Wes has walked down a different path in life where he remains unattached, his parties imbue that type of life perspective. So when you go over there, you really can't bring your kid. I've tried bringing Jack before. Greg has tried bringing his daughter before. But you got to really kind of give in to the beast and really take in all that is that West vibe. When you go there, check all your responsibilities at the door.
Yeah, it's way too of an unfiltered look at life for a child to take in. You need to be an adult, and a hardened, cynical adult.
Today's show, fun show, pre-show grade. God, it's so good to be back with Mark. Just the two of us. Haven't seen Mark in a while. So that adds into the grade. Also, just kind of in general, it's fun being here. I love doing the show. And I look at the rundown. I think it's going to be a lot of interesting stuff that the fans are going to love. B minus.
Okay, so zero faith in the duo getting back together after 4+ years.
Yeah. Today's show, we're going to talk about what's going on in the news, including the latest from Tom Brady and Deflategate. Too bad about that. We will, again, open up the mailbag because this is a special show, a very special edition of the Around the NFL podcast with Hanzeus and Mr. Fancy Pants. So we'll hit the mailbag with specific questions toward the two of us. We're going to get our old friend back on the phone, our New Jersey correspondent, Connor Orr, who has not been on the show since his controversial week sitting in the studio where he made a lot of fans and, let's face it, made a lot of enemies as well.
That's broadcast.
But just, you know, Connor is such a bright mind that we have a new segment. That's the thing about Connor. There's no shortage of different segments. There's Are You Kidding Me?, Horrible Movies, and premiering today is a segment we call Conspiracy Theories. How do you like that?
I love it. I mean, he's got a last name that probably fits into 40% of English words in general. So you're able to go in multiple directions with Connor Orr in the segments.
Yeah. But before we do any of that, let's hit the news. And to do that, we say hi to the man behind the glass, one of the best hitters on the Shield softball team. Got on base 5 times again last week. Just a tremendous work. I'm going to move him down to the heart of the lineup this week because I want him to knock in some runners because he's hitting the ball so well. He is the Irishman. What's up, buddy?
If people want to, and thank you for that. That was very a great intro. If
yeah,
people want
it.
To listen to your and Mark's first debate club, it is included in the Greatest Hits Volume 1.
Yes, that's very true, which came out last week. So go check that out if you want to hear two awkward, nervous whites.
That's putting it nicely.
Yes, so let's do some news, buddy.
What? Did we just become best friends? Yep.
That's funny that the I pick up the chisels because I my brother and I, when we got together last week over in Jersey, one of the late night viewings was Step Brothers, which holds up remarkably well. What a funny movie. Have you seen that?
Have not.
You have not seen Step Brothers?
No, is it? I'll make
that
it next on my
list. That
is a
funny movie, right, Irish?
Oh, I mean, we should watch that at WrestleMania this week. It's that great.
Exactly. All right, let's do some news, and we'll start with, yes, a trip to the Throne of Sleaze. Uh-oh. Oh, no. Oh, no.
Terrible.
Tom Brady. His chances of overturning his 4-game suspension continue to diminish. The U.S. Second Circuit Court of Appeals denied a petition by Brady and the NFL Players Association on Wednesday to rehear his suspension case. Meeting the Patriots QB has only one more option to knock down this punishment, and that would be taking this thing all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court. And wouldn't that be only fitting, Mark, that it ended up in the Supreme Court? Something as silly as this, and quite frankly, American.
I mean, they don't have time for this garbage, do they?
I don't know. I don't really know. It's a good question. How busy is the Supreme Court? Because you would think they have a ton of things to do to uphold the nation and all, but perhaps they mostly sit around and something comes every few months or so. I don't know.
Well, you don't hear. They're not. They don't sound like day-to-day workhorses. It's like they'll handle kind of a high profile. This could get them back in the news. I mean, I think most people today, you know, could you name 3 people on the Supreme Court, Dan? I'm not going to actually ask you to do that. You can just say yes or no.
Yes, I can actually.
Well, so could I. We're knowledgeable, obviously. Don't ask me
maybe
to do
two.
That. You know, they're not on our radar.
I'll throw out one, Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Oh, yeah. She's
and there's been a lot of pop about this, a lot of heat, because she publicly ripped Donald Trump, the GOP nominee for president, who, as we know, is tight or at least friendly with Tom Brady. So that obviously wouldn't work in old Tommy Boy's favor. I don't know if it actually gets there. Brady has 90 days to file an appeal with the Supreme Court. I imagine he will. If you've taken it to the five-yard line, you might as well take this madness into the end zone and do everything you can. But it's looking more and more likely that this is it, and he will miss the first four games of the 2016 season, and Jimmy Garoppolo will be the Patriots starter. And, Mark, we saw something in the news from Marcel Darius, who is actually upset that Brady's not involved.
Says he is. Says he is. You know, if they're going to play the Patriots and if they want to get any credit for beating them, it doesn't happen if you're Rex Ryan with the one time that Brady's not on the field. I mean, I get where he's coming from. I don't know. You know, if you look at their schedule, they open up at the Cardinals in Arizona. That is rough, and that's on prime time. But then they're home three straight weeks against the Dolphins, Texans, and Bills. It's a manageable – if you're going to have to stick what is essentially a rookie quarterback or in terms of his experience, Garoppolo, like, this is not the worst situation.
Calais Campbell, a defensive tackle with the Arizona Cardinals and a standout on all or nothing, which, by the way, we'll get to next week when the team is back together, talk about the eight episodes and kind of put a bow on one of the great NFL films features of really in their history, I think. That's how good it was. But Calais Campbell said he'll be, quote, licking his chops playing against Jimmy Garoppolo, but we don't know anything about Jimmy G. So it'll be that will, you know, is it is a bummer that Tom Brady's not going to be on the field because things are more fun when the Patriots are at peak villain capacity. But at least we get to see what Garoppolo can do.
Yeah, because at this point, it feels weird because this should have been last season. It's happening now. We released all these tape studies on Jimmy G last summer, and they died a quick death as soon as the Brady thing turned around. But isn't Calais Campbell being the honest one here? He basically said,
yes.
You know, as veterans, we like to welcome an inexperienced quarterback anytime we can. I don't care what the Bills say. You want to take these guys down, and they're going to be that game is still interesting. It's going to be a fascinating matchup.
I love moving on. I love real rivalries. And you know what's a real rivalry in the NFL right now? It's in the AFC North. Sorry, Mark, it has nothing to do with the Browns. They'll get back to rival status eventually.
Not when they play Tom Brady in Week 5, but yes.
Yeah, they got to beat them. They got to kind of beat their own demons before having a real rival again. But a real rivalry going on right now is the Cincinnati Bengals and the Pittsburgh Steelers. Those teams hate each other. And things got even more heated after what happened in January's playoffs. During an event in London to promote the NFL's international series this season, Bengals defensive tackle Domata Peko. Is that how you pronounce it? Pico?
Dead on.
Do you know?
I think you've done a great job.
Domata Peko was asked to complete the sentence. The Pittsburgh, and it's probably from a British reporter, so I will speak British here. The Pittsburgh Steelers are, and then Pico replied, or Peko, pieces of bleep, while making the beeping sound used to cover expletives. So he actually did say bleep, which
that's what I
kind
love
of interesting.
This.
I kind of like that. That's a different way to do it. And then he was asked to kind of, you know, elaborate. Oh, we hate them. For us, each time we play the Steelers, the whole city is like, quote, beat these fools. And whenever we beat them, it is a big party in Cincinnati. It is a big rivalry for us. That's going to be a fun. It's going to be very fun to watch those two teams because I think even with some of the losses for both sides, I think these teams are very evenly matched, and those will be the two teams fighting for that division, in my opinion.
Yeah, and if this time, you know, the wild card game, which I randomly wound up watching about 3 or 4 weeks ago, it remains one of the most insane football games that we will ever watch. And I watched it live in a bar with a huge collection of very sad Bengals fans. That's a game that included Mike Munchak getting penalized for pulling a player's hair. And that happened early, and you knew right away that things were going to get very bizarre. And it never stopped. It just got increasingly odd as the game went on.
Mm. Yeah.
Wesleyan in his write-up called it the game between two bitter AFC North rivals. This game had more plot twists than a 19th century Russian novel.
That might have been peak Westivus, by the way. I don't know. It almost makes me think that I will pick Cincinnati in any eventual playoff matchup if they get there this year, because it doesn't get any more bungles than what happened in January. And for Wes and Westivus, that's the highest point of that celebration of the Cincinnati going out in the first round every year. I think they will get over the hump, and they needed to hit rock bottom.
That was rock bottom. I still have not gotten behind the story of why Chris Wessling, who every year takes that game off to get, I would say, wildly sauced, was actually the one person in the office covering the game while I was out watching it.
That was a scheduling gaffe.
That's
by the boss.
Well, that won't happen under David Ely, our new he's my boss now, Dan. So he's done an excellent job. I'm gonna just throw that out there. He's been on the show and he's been rightly promoted.
Is he actually your boss?
Well, that is the case.
The luckless in love desk editor, David Ely.
Yeah, but he's come in. He's set a tone right out of the gate, and you can say that you're proud to have him as a boss.
That's something to unpack as well when Greg and
yes, we
Wes
need Greg
are back. Including, do we even call Greg the boss anymore?
There's too much going on.
Lots to unpack. Moving on, one of my favorites downstairs, Jim Reineking. Rhino wrote a post about it. No player selected in the 2016 NFL supplemental draft. Wow, as expected. It was not something people were looking to have happen. This is the third time in the past 4 years that no player was selected in the supplemental draft. Mark, I'll throw it to you now to explain with detail why the supplemental draft doesn't have a plethora of NFL players being selected.
There were six eligible players this time.
Said that.
So I've given you no information out of the gate. But Ian Rappaport, media insider for NFL Media, said that at one point one of these six guys, was it Jalen Overstreet? I don't know. Was it T. Shepard? Was it Rashawn Simonise? You tell me the name. Cam Walton, Razan Howard, or Eddie D'Antonio? Who knows which one? But one of them held a workout, and not a single scout showed up to it. So it was a precursor to the absolute lack of interest. You know, this is just done through email. So they get some lackey or someone in each front office just to say, yeah, we'll pass this round. And it was over in 15 minutes, 32 teams executing, you know, multiple rounds of a supplemental draft, which is a barn burner of an event. It fell a little short this time.
I would give it time. It's just an email event now, but I have a feeling NFL will find a way to blow that out into a primetime event within the next 5 years.
They should take one or two marquee players in May when they're about to be drafted, and they get lotteried into the supplemental, and it creates total chaos.
There you go. Ratings. Put Rich Eisen in the hosting chair, and away we go. Bad news for the Cleveland Browns, Mark, and other news. Browns defensive end Desmond Bryant sustained a torn pectoral muscle Tuesday. Had surgery to repair the tear, the team announced on Wednesday. He is not likely to return this season, so the entire 2016 season wiped out. He hurt himself lifting weights in the gym. This was a player, Mark, that had started all 41 games he's appeared in over the past three seasons, led the team with six sacks last season. You know, we talk about God hates Cleveland, the Cavs won. But this is, again, the last thing the Browns need. I don't think this guy is the difference between turning around the organization, but you don't want him disappearing, right?
It's not a position where they have a lot of known quantities behind them. It's one of the youngest rosters in the league. They're looking for a guy named Xavier Cooper, second-year guy, to step up. But it's. I don't think Desmond Bryant was the Jenga piece, as Damashek would say, of this team. He was a very high-paid veteran who probably he's on the roster for one more year at $7 million. Don't know if he'll ever play another snap for the Browns. He's a release candidate.
It makes you wonder if you're a Browns fan trying to be optimistic as you look forward, and not that you're happy that this guy got hurt, but the old Bill Parcellsism that these type of veterans that aren't true impact guys but are nice little players on certain teams, they could be viewed as, quote, progress stoppers. Get in the young guys. Let those guys get the snaps. The Browns aren't going to – well, I think you're picking them to surprise people, and I somewhat jokingly said the same thing. But it's just really hard to imagine them winning many games with this roster. But it doesn't mean it could be a year of progress. It can't be a year of progress.
I think they just have to – you can't be worried about the record if you're a Browns fan. You have to look at this as – I couldn't agree more. If there's any veterans in the way that aren't going to be around two or three years from now, get him out of there and play these young people and see what you have.
Yeah. Mark, does the name Jonathan Williams ring a bell?
Well, it's a very common name. It probably rings multiple bells. I feel like I've known seven of these people.
All right. Well, this particular Jonathan Williams is a rookie running back for the Buffalo Bills. He was arrested on suspicion of driving while intoxicated in Arkansas early Thursday morning, according to a police report obtained by NFL media. He was released from jail after posting his bond. He's got a court scheduled for Friday. The Bills released a statement that they're looking into it, blah, blah, blah. But the reason I bring up young Jonathan Williams, who misstepped in his a youthful mistake by young Jonathan Williams that we hope he won't make again. The reason I bring him up is because the last time we spoke with Spice Rack, who, of course, is Chris Wessling's desert consigliere, a man who we all like personally. I met him in Vegas, and he showed my friends and I a very good time. But at the same time, you know, kind of hard to get a grip on where he was coming from his last. How would you describe his last performance on our podcast?
Kind of dangerously unhinged. I mean, yes. I think we all got out of the segment mystified, wondering what was happening to all of us.
Exactly. Unhinged is the word that really gets associated a lot. But anyway, the guts of the conversation with Spice Rack, we were trying to get him to feed us because he does know his stuff. Give us something. Give us some. Who are players out of the draft that we want to keep an eye on? And we were looking for five, maybe three, even two. All we got out of him was one. And let's take a quick walk down memory lane of who it was.
I'd say Jonathan Williams, running back, fifth-round Bills.
Mm, wow, all right.
Wow, crowded house in Buffalo. That's interesting. I mean, I guess at this point—
just a cursed appearance, let's face it.
You don't really want to be a college-to-pro player getting mentioned by Spice Rack, because last year it was, you know, multiple gushing reports over Melvin Gordon, who, you know, and whatever way you look at it, couldn't have been more disappointing as a rookie.
Yeah.
And now this.
Should we have Spice Rack back on the show?
Well, I'm open to anything because there's a lot of time to fill, and he could do that. But you know, like I said, his last appearance had me concerned on multiple levels. I'm not alone.
Unhinged. That's what's happening in the news. All right, what else do we want to talk about? With Damashek, we spoke about he's working on his Spotify playlist that has not seen the light of day yet. He's been working on it for months and months and months. And I told him, and he disagreed, but let's be honest. The reason he started on this is because he caught wind and heard buzz about my deep 90s alternative Spotify playlist. And that made me, oh, let me check in. It's a living document, my Spotify playlist of the deep 90s alternative hits. And I looked down and I said, oh, this, you know, I need some more women, more female artists on this list. And, you know, we love women on the Around the NFL podcast.
Of course.
So I added three new songs that I thought, let's take another walk down memory lane to the 90s, Ladies with Guitars. Let's listen to them. Here's the first one, Irish. Remember this one?
Oh, yeah.
Can you name the artist?
The Breeders.
Very good. How about the song?
I Want to Do Something.
I think that's what you want to do.
It's a weapon. It was a cannonball, I believe, is the name.
Correct.
Yeah.
The song was Cannonball. Let's listen to your voice. What a great! It's one of the best beginnings to any song in the 90s. All right, now let's see. Does Brandon McGinnis know the song? Yes or no?
I think he does.
All right, Irish. Have you ever heard the song before? You uploaded it into our system today.
No.
Okay. All right. Little.
So it stood the test of time for
exactly.
Starters.
Exactly. All right. Let's listen to the next one. This is a tougher one. Just wait for the chorus. I'm picturing Mark in some youth hostel. His whole life ahead of him. Great vocal melody coming up. You ready?
Here and now, here I think it's before her time, but I want to go Avril Lavigne.
Well before her time. Yeah, Avril did not show up for another decade at least. Ever heard of that one, Irish?
Actually had before.
Really?
Yes, I actually had.
That is Letters to Cleo, Here and Now.
Totally. I listened to a lot of music from that time period. Totally escaped my radar.
All right, and one more. Let's listen. Love Women. I love the 90s. There it comes, Johnny. When that chorus hit, I just want the listeners to know that something washed over Mark.
Well, I totally know the chorus. The first part sounded, I thought it was like Jewel in her heroin phase, but it wasn't. Who is that?
That is Veruca Salt.
Okay.
Seether, do you think Irish knows it?
No.
Do you have any older siblings?
He could just lie to us too, but I'm saying no.
You know this one?
I did not know this one, but I have an older brother and sister.
I bet they know it.
Yes. Well, I mean, he got me into Sugar Ray, so.
Yeah, we got to talk to that brother. Leading his young brother down a strange road. Anyway, the deep 90s alternative mix, I'll send out a link. Got to get more women involved. I got the ladies involved. It's a really balanced look at not the biggest hits of the 90s, but things that were just below the radar. Stuff from Alternative Nation. Kennedy would know all these songs.
I know that you used to. There was a period where you would tweet out, you know, your top five, and it was always 90s bands.
Typically.
And you took a little heat from people here in the office, if I'm not mistaken.
All right, should we get Connor on the phone?
I think it's that time.
It's been a while. I think it's been well over a month.
Well, and I wasn't even here when he was here last time, so I haven't spoken to him in ages.
He sat in your chair, actually.
That doesn't intimidate me. I mean, we're complimentary. I love Connor Orr.
What do you think about Tim Tebow speaking at the Republican National Convention?
Well, it's not an event that I'm going to spend a lot of time watching one way or another.
It's in Cleveland. What do you think about that?
Well, it's
Cleveland.
Well, I think anywhere it is, it's probably ripe for riots and things being set on fire. So not what Cleveland needs right now.
What about this new idea that the Cavs won the NBA Finals in stunning fashion and now everything Cleveland touches turns to gold?
I do think that sports works that way, and usually when you see one team turn around, it happens to other teams in the city. It happens in waves and groupings. So I am going to try to be optimistic.
Do you think Tebow will be our president one day?
No.
Okay.
Do you?
Yes, I do. I believe he'll be the president in approximately 20 years.
We need to do on NFL.com, one of those old he said articles we used to do where we could take counterpoints on this.
We might as well go all the way down.
I mean, let's just regress completely backwards.
Exactly. All right. Now on the line, yes, he is our New Jersey correspondent based in a haunted mansion, a mansion that now is inhabited by not his live-in girlfriend, no longer living in sin, his wife. My wife, as he might say. He is Connor Orr. What's up, buddy?
How's it going, man?
Mark Sessler with me. This is your first time on the show since your, I thought, wildly charismatic, but yes, controversial week sitting in here in California.
Yeah, I had a lot of time to reflect on it. I never thought I'd be able to come on again, so this is good. This feels right.
So I was saying when I was talking about your upcoming appearance earlier in the show that one of the great things about Connor Orr is that he's just a master of coming up with new segments. And I don't know if that's more about the segments that created don't have the legs to last and it's more a scramble job to find a way to get Connor
Orr possible
on our show, or if it's just the guy is just, I mean, he's hit this like vein like the Beatles in 1966 where there's just so much creative juice coming out of him he can't even contain it. But our new segment, get ready, ladies and gentlemen, for Con Conspiracy theories.
And this is my Sergeant Pepper period, man. This is just, okay. I mean, this is epic, right? This is worth it. This is good.
Well, I like the sound of that. And, you know, do we have any music for this, Irish? I mean, let's get into the spirit. So the reason we're talking about conspiracy theories is because D.B. Cooper, who I don't know, Mark, I'm sure you know about D.B. Cooper as a historian and a conspiracy theorist yourself.
I should know more.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you a little bit about him. He is a stranger, a man who hijacked a flight in 1971 and jumped out of the building with $200,000 in ransom money strapped to his body, vanished over the Pacific Northwest, was never found. No trace of him ever found. No one knows if he died jumping out of the plane. No one knows if he lived a quiet life in the United States. Nobody knows if he headed over the border or if he's even still alive. It's one of the great mysteries 45 years later. And today, the FBI announced, that being for our overseas listeners, the Federal Bureau of Investigation, announced they are closing the books on this unsolved case. This from Special Agent in Charge Frank Montoya via CNN.com. We have arrived at our conclusion today that it was just time to close the case because there isn't anything new out there. There's a lot that goes into that decision, but really it was just time. And this is the basis of our premier conspiracy theory. We throw it to you, Connor.
I think it's like I think I got really interested in this because I just imagine, like, after the FBI closed the case, you being the guy that worked on it for 45 years, you know, and like you were just like this sprightly young guy, like in the bureau, being like, "Ah, this is how I'm gonna make my name," and then like now you're this decrepit, angry old man, and like you come into work the next day, and it's like, well, it's time to start a new life passion, you know?
And, you know, that sticks to you, too. Like, if you're the young guy who gets assigned this case, it becomes almost like your Waterloo, that you never really can move up in the bureau if that's stuck to you.
They got you in a back room hidden away looking through, you know, 20, 30-year-old texts. Connor, tell us more, though.
I mean, I think the best part about D.B. Cooper was, like, he was the ultimate – sort of like gentlemanly criminal, like, you know, he like slipped the stewardess like a 20 and for $2 worth of bourbon that he bought on the airplane. And he told her to keep the change, you know, and just like some really cool maneuvers, like just knew everything, said, "Hey baby, let's take this plane to Mexico City." And then halfway to Mexico City, they look back and just disappears, totally gone like a boss.
And that kind of debonair storyline about him and the narrative is why, if you recall, Mark and Connor, both fans of the show, I believe, that when there was a lot of speculation about how Mad Men would end, that some people thought, because the timeline did sync up, that Matthew Weiner was going to have Don Draper be revealed to be D.B. Cooper. It wasn't the case, but that tells you a little bit about his suave reputation. But I have to ask you, Connor, because you did pitch this as a new segment, I would assume that you must have a conspiracy theory to share about D.B. Cooper, or did you just want to shoot the shit about him? I don't know.
I think that the prevailing theory is that it's this guy, Kenneth Christensen, who was like a military paratrooper, but also like did all these like really sweet things, like set his high school record for the mile, was a world-class tap dancer, like just an amazing like human being, but also like, you know, you can connect the dots in a lot of different ways. Like, you know, to me, D.B. Cooper sounds a lot like NFL media's Charlie Casserly too, so I wouldn't rule that out.
Wait, I love this. So you're saying, and again, the timeline does sync up because there's no way to know how old Charlie Casserly is. So he could certainly have been
that works.
Of age at that time. Could Charlie Casserly be D.B. Cooper? Is D.B. Cooper Charlie Casserly? Is Charlie Casserly D.B. Cooper?
Yeah, I mean, just
it's pretty
I mean,
good theory.
Mysterious early life in River Edge, New Jersey, you know, and really, you know, the description of his, quote, 23-year career with the Washington Redskins is totally vague, and there could be such an opportunity for him to make his way out to the Pacific Northwest, jump out of an airplane, and then come back to help revive the Houston Texans.
And let me just try to connect the dot here. I know Washington, the football team is associated with, is actually the District of Columbia, Washington. But the word Washington, he jumped out over the Pacific Northwest, Washington.
Oh, a link?
Theory.
A clear link. I mean, my one, the, you know, I like the theory. It's juicy. It certainly brings it back home to NFL media. But how many times have I seen Charlie Casserly working the phones at like 5 a.m. in our office, you know, grinding? If you had stolen and gotten away with millions of dollars, are you someone that's still that much of a workhorse? I don't know.
Well, it was only 200 grand.
Well, that's true. That's not that much cash. That might have maybe paid for, you know, a vacation home out in Virginia back then.
Maybe it's like
200 grand, and he lost. Don't forget, D.B. Cooper lost $5,800 worth of that money.
Ouch.
Because a kid found it, like, digging in a beach somewhere. There was, like, these vaguely, like, almost completely disintegrated stacks of $20 bills matching the serial number. So, you know, maybe this NFL media gig is sort of a ruse to sort of make up a lot of the cash that he lost in the air.
The theory actually is absolutely rock solid, and maybe, you know, the FBI just doesn't need us to know it, but if they caught wind of this, then you don't need to reopen the case. You just feel comfort. No. The case is over.
Let him go.
Yeah.
Statute of limitations and all that. One last connect the dot. Can I get a little music for this? So he jumps out into the sky, into forest land, perhaps lands in some shrubbery, probably hurt himself, you would think, poked a lot of holes in him, injured him. Maybe that explains why he passed on Reggie Bush in the 2006 NFL draft.
Oh, my God.
All right. Okay, good. I like good debut conspiracy theory. I like that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think that
this one might last like 3 episodes, maybe. Maybe. At least
oh,
two.
My God. Yeah, this is I'm sorry. This is just another terrible idea.
No, no, it's pretty good. It's pretty
you
good.
You solved a massive, you know, there's no more curiosity around this mystery. Nice job, fellas.
Before we let you go, we did want to touch on a around the NFL post that you threw up this week. I believe it was 8 hours ago, actually. You've been up for a while, buddy. So we're not going to keep you on too much longer. But a feature written by ESPN.com on Kiko Alonso, and you really, this one really got you pumped up. Can you tell us a little bit more about this Kiko Alonso feature in ESPN?
It was written by, I believe, a writer that lives in Colombia, where Kiko Alonso's mother is from, and it's just this epic, like, Gabriel Garcia Marquez-esque prose, like, surrounding this, like, middling NFL linebacker and some of the greatest lines, like, you know, like a storybook hero who returns to the castle to rearm before resuming the battle, Alonso returned to the land of his ancestors on his mother's side to recover and start again. Like, just this, and then you just picture Kiko Alonso. Like,
yeah, it's Kiko.
This is on ESPN?
This is the same guy that did middling chunky soup ads.
Yeah.
I got another one. Here we go. After 15 years, Kiko Alonso is back to milking cows, savoring the smell of fresh guava, and riding a chestnut horse across the field of his ancestors. Wow. That's a chestnut horse.
Else?
This feels like a massive prank being put over on people.
Is it an Onion article? Do they have like a new Onion arm at ESPN?
It was the whole thing was just like incredible. I mean, like, he's painted as this not only warrior, but like deeper down, like this horse whisperer who speaks fluent Spanish, and like it just gave me this whole like different perspective of like Kiko Alonso as some sort of like, you know, Antonio Banderas type character. It was incredible.
Alonso walked around the yard looking for more green fodder, warning a photographer about to follow him, "Watch out! Do not go behind the legs of the horse unless you want a vasectomy."
it was great. And to top it all off, sort of a back-ended shot at Mark Sanchez.
Ooh, I love
it. Of all people. Kiko saying that his Spanish is natural and Mark Sanchez is school-taught.
Ooh, so, shots.
Oh,
little,
please.
Little cannon fire there, too, just to start the NFL season.
It also feeds into Connor Orr's, and if you're around him on Instant Messenger, Connor Orr has a unwieldy fascination with Chip Kelly. And, you know, we know that Alonzo and Chip Kelly have ties dating back to their college days. So it fed into that obsession of yours, Connor.
I think, yeah, I mean, totally. And I think that there's a reason why, you know, Chip Kelly's not just interested in the player. He's interested in the person. And I could totally see him, you know, him and Kiko riding horseback and just really coming up with a way to take over the NFL and take it by storm.
Wow, there you go. So, Kiko Alonso, check out that feature at ESPN and check out Connor Orr's write-up about that feature at NFL.com/news. Connor, you've done it again. You've proved the doubters wrong. You've enraged the antagonists when it comes to your work on this podcast, or maybe converted some into fans. You never know.
You never know. Sorry to everybody. I'll see you next time.
All right, there he goes. Connor Orr, our New Jersey correspondent. A married man with, yes, a mortgage. Before we go, why don't we hit up the old mailbag? We don't have a drop from the mailbag. We gotta work on that.
You figure we would have learned from last week, last time.
Yeah, Tuesday. Does that fall on the producer? I don't know. You tell me, Mark.
It seems to be, you know, in the zone of what he would be handling.
Should we put down the chisels or?
Well, I mean, again, let the producer take this away and see what he comes up with next time. One more chance.
One more chance. All right, here we go, and I will need the producer's help here for our first question, and this is from your boss. I don't think that's right. I don't think he's actually your boss, really. I think you're working in a structure in which he's someone that organizes some of the writing materials and some of the topics and kind of the direction of the news. But I don't think David Ely's your boss.
I disagree. I see him as a superior.
Okay. The Luckless and Love desk editor, David Ely, had this to say at David_Ely. Monday night's Bachelorette a La Raville Magnifico?
La Raville Magnifico.
For Jordan Rodgers or Aaron? And Mark, I don't know if you were flying, you were traveling back from the East during this, if you're aware of what happened in the latest episode of The Bachelorette.
I definitely am not.
Okay, so it got a little awkward, and if you check out the latest Damashek podcast, we actually had a roundtable discussion with Lindsay Rhodes and Mark Iztook as well with Damashek about this topic. But Jordan Rodgers finally was asked point blank, by JoJo, the Bachelorette. He's now in the final four. What's the deal with his relationship with his brother? And let's listen to it.
My middle brother won't be there.
And that's Aaron.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Why?
Yeah, Aaron. Like I said, I have a great relationship with my brother Luke. Me and Aaron don't really have that much of a relationship.
Ouch. And then a follow up question. She asked, does he know you're doing the show? And he said, I'm not sure. She said, so you guys don't talk at all? And he said, no. No relationship at all. And it makes me think, how did we get to this? That did Jordan Rodgers not think that this stage he would reach a stage? Or maybe he wanted to reach a stage because it's made his star even brighter on the show, but is making things even more awkward for the Rodgerses.
It is awkward. I mean, it sounds like Aaron Rodgers doesn't want to talk about it at all either. One question, I don't know what the Bachelorette's name is. What's her name?
JoJo.
JoJo. Okay, so JoJo actually thinks that he's gotten this far into this national television show and that Aaron Rodgers has never heard of the fact that his brother's on the show. I'm not saying that he's sitting down and watching it. It sounds
like this was all taped before even the premiere. You know what I mean?
All right. Well, I don't know fair. I mean, it's going to be coming week to week with new episodes, but.
But this is how atomic the situation is. And we know Aaron Rodgers, one of the great quarterbacks of all time, in our opinion, is kind of a touchy guy, as we've seen
yes.
through the years.
Oh, yeah.
Can be a sensitive type dude. You never heard him get asked about it at minicamp, but I can sure as hell tell you, especially if this Jordan Rodgers goes on to win this thing, which I think he's the favorite, that there, you know, when Packers camp opens, E is going to be sending people down. Extra is going to be sending people down to ask the questions that the beat guys are not going to ask because they know that Aaron Rodgers will never forgive them for it. So he's going to have to face this in Packers camp. It's going to be a distraction for him during training camp, at least initially, until the PR people could somehow figure out how to, a way to keep these people out of the mix. But he was on the Bill Simmons HBO show yesterday, Aaron Rodgers, and
right.
like a 30-minute sit-down with Bill Simmons, who's famous for his pop culture stuff, and I think his new Ringer site, just like Grantland, has like entire podcast dedicated to The Bachelor and The Bachelorette. Nobody, he didn't ask one question about it, which tells you that was slashed red cross through.
Wow.
Do not ask about Jordan Rodgers. An awkward situation there. To answer the question, the La Reveille Magnifico, who is it a bigger La Reveille Magnifico? We don't know enough about
it. We don't know.
I won't say it. I don't want to throw anybody under the bus.
Maybe JoJo, whoever, you know. I don't have a full scattering report on her, but she sounds suspect
to me. That's the difference between you and I. I, with my Spotify playlist, I want to get more women involved. You're the first guy to say, blame it on the girl.
No, I'm getting her involved by putting her on the, you know, she's equally involved in this fiasco at this point.
All right, let's move on to another question. At J.A. Bergman, Sheriff Bergman, are shadowy league figures launching an investigation into Mark's subliminal Instagram? I don't really care about that answer so much, but what I do want to know about is did you follow through with your ban of myself and Wessling and Greg on your Instagram account, and did Wes follow through with banning you for 60 days?
I actually have gone a different route because I have not looked into how to ban someone, and I kind of thought it would get a little tender with Wes if I did that. You know, he and I are friends.
Yes, you are.
I sent a message through the actual images. And I'm not done with what I've done with what I don't know if you've even seen what's
no, happening. I'm not plugged in. Unless it's Super Bowl week, I am not plugged
in. I know you're not. So you will skate by, you know, unhindered. But I put I put all three of you on blast. And if there's
really?
More antics and if there are more crosswords and nonsense coming from the three of you, then I will press the ban button.
Okay. Good
that
to know.
That is how this works.
Good to know. I feel like I'm in the clear no matter what. Moving on, this from Joel Wylanga at Joel Wheels. More starts this season, RG3 or Mark Sanchez? It's a good question because both have competition at the position. Both are veterans with some battle scars at this point and questionable talent level, frankly, to be starters in the National Football League. Who do you have in this?
Oh, that's a great question. I think I would go with RG3 based on the fact that they don't have a young guy that they drafted high that I think is going to probably just be pushed into the lineup at some point. I think Paxton Lynch has a chance to start more games than anyone the Browns would want to put in, unless it's Josh McCown. I mean, we could be talking between 6 and 5 games for both here.
It's a coin flip there because I think if the defending Super Bowl champions get off to a slow start and Sanchez is struggling, I think they will pull the trigger on either this Simeon. Was that his name?
Trevor Siemian?
Yeah, Trevor
Siemian.
That's
an option.
Or, of course, the rookie. Meanwhile, I think the Browns, I think they have a little more of an investment in RG3 and seeing if they can make it work. So I feel like he might have the better chance to make 6 starts and get pulled, and then I could see Sanchez maybe lasting 4 games just because the stakes are higher for Denver right now.
Yeah, I don't think people are looking. If Cleveland doesn't start 4-1, we're making a quarterback change. They could very easily start 1-4, and it might not have as much to do with RG3 as the rest of the roster.
He just has to be okay.
He has to be okay.
But we'll see if he can.
Coin flip, then.
Be okay. This from Ives Okoro at Ives164. This is directed at Dan only. When will the fantasy extravaganza return? Ouch.
Come on.
Well, that's also not really fair. Now, of course, the fantasy extravaganza, which we have every August, the answer to the question will probably be in the final, I would say, 10 days of August. It will be a week-long affair. Each show will have a real a full meaty segment devoted to Fantasy Talk as we help you win your fantasy leagues. Chris Wessling and Greg Rosenthal built Roto World brick by brick physically. So I really lean on them hard as the master of ceremonies. But that's not to say Mark doesn't have a role. I mean, he was the bad boy on the Fantasy Corner last year. We threw it to you for some hot takes, if I recall.
Yeah, I think I was 100% accurate with my takes. I mean, it is largely – it's two shows I look forward to, if it's not three, because I can generally just completely unplug.
Let's move on. At the Funky Gibbon, Alistar Gibbon, what do you honestly think of Greg? Remember, he won't listen.
Greg is was an excellent boss and is a friend.
Okay. I think that's very fair. I like Greg. I respect him as a professional. I think he's a gifted football writer with an eye for the game. And I find him to be good company.
We've talked about this before. He's a mentor, but also a pal.
From Richard Hunter at Not That Hunter, if you two, meaning you and I, Mark, had to take a two-week vacation together, where would you go?
Great question.
2 weeks is a long time.
That feels too long.
Yeah, how about 2 days?
2 days.
Big Bear?
No, too secluded. I think we're dads, you know, we're married, we've got kids, we've got a lot of responsibilities. You kind of want to be an animal, you know, let out of a cage, and Big Bear is a little too quiet and remote. I'm thinking, I mean, I would just dial up New York City or maybe New Orleans. We had a great time in New Orleans.
That's true. For the Super Bowl when we went there. Let's go to New Orleans.
I like that. We don't have family close by. No one. There's no responsibilities. You just go and you. Let's see if you come back alive.
In fact, we're gonna leave our cell phones. That's our wives will be like, oh, did you leave already? Like, yeah. And like on the kitchen counter, our cell phones and any way to reach us will be there.
That's
as
a great
well.
Strategy.
Did the Reddit team, the Irishman, reached out to our subreddit board, the Around the NFL podcast subreddit. Make sure you join that if you haven't for some questions. Did they give us anything?
Yeah, Boiler Viking gave a good one. What team would give the best storyline for All or Nothing Season 2?
Okay. And there will be a Season 2. I can report that exclusively. You will get a Season 2. Who the team will be, and Mark and I talked a little downstairs about, so they went with the Cardinals last year, and it really worked out because not only were they a compelling team filled with great personalities, they were successful. And that's the danger. With Hard Knocks, you don't have to worry about if the team's going to be good or not. As long as they're compelling during training camp, that's all you have to get. You could get stuck with a team that stinks, and they get injuries or whatever, and then you're stuck with them for the entire season and it hurts the show. But just on pure charisma or what team would be the juiciest, who would you go with?
Well, it was very NFC-heavy last time, obviously, even in terms of playing the Panthers down the stretch. I would go the Steelers because I think it starts with you need to have an excellent head coach to watch. If you don't, if you have a dud head coach, you're in a lot of hot water. You've got that with Tomlin. You've got a team that is going to compete and be there at the end. And it also, if they ever got to the Super Bowl, you know, we've seen Brady and Manning win one. If it's Roethlisberger's year, it could be absolutely a perfect storyline.
That's a good one. I like that. I like that you went to the AFC, and I would pick an AFC team too, but I don't see one that jumps out. I'm intrigued a little bit by the Raiders as a team because they are on the rise. They're a storied franchise that has a lot of history, and they've been downtrodden for many years. So kind of being on the ground floor and seeing when that potentially can turn. But again, there's the risk.
Right.
Because if they stumble – and their car takes a step back or they have injuries, then they become a terrible team to follow. But maybe I'd roll the dice with the Raiders. You know, Aaron Rodgers, watching his interview yesterday, and again, a storied franchise, and I find Rodgers so compelling and interesting as a guy that always holds things back a little bit. You're not really sure what's going on with him. Following him for a full season, that would be fun. So the Packers are one from the NFC that would intrigue me personally.
If they ever went with the Panthers trying to get back to where they were, and you've got all the elements there, there's a lot of personality characters on that team. It's going to be different because you didn't. None of those Cardinals players knew what those cameras were there for.
They had no clue.
Someone's going to pick that up this time.
Yeah, that. I mean, it would be different. There was. I spoke with someone at the premiere, and he was told that people kept on asking to go home with him to his house, cameramen, and he had no idea why they were doing it. They found out later on. Anything else from the subreddit?
Yeah, we have one for Mark. Will Get Happy asked, why was Mark living in a YMCA?
Ooh, good question.
This was, because I, at the time, was moving to Boulder from the East Coast and took a bus to Denver. Well, I was moving to Denver, and I just didn't know where or with whom. There was a group of friends that I told you guys about. We lived in it was sort of a farmhouse slash commune, but that took 2 months to get together.
Right.
And so I needed like a place that was very cheap, and they didn't even have youth hostels. But back then, the Denver YMCA in downtown had rooms that you could rent for a week, and the place had an absolutely dangerous vibe to it. But it cost like $90 a week.
What
or
year
something.
Is this?
This is like 1998. I actually called. I looked on their website, and these rooms are no longer part of their plan as a YMCA. They basically said we shut that down 15 years ago, and I'm sure it was an unsavory
you felt
environment.
Unsafe.
I did not. Yeah, I wouldn't say that it was not the Ramada, which is not even a good hotel, anyways. But
sometimes strange. Go with Four Seasons.
It was an odd environment.
I would say it's fairly remarkable that you're alive with some of the decisions you've made.
It was not a great decision.
In terms of being putting yourself out there for someone to be murdered by a drifter or some psychopath who preys on people in vulnerable situations. It seems like you, for a lot of your life until you met the lovely Simone, between basically meeting Simone and graduating from college, it felt like a nice meaty dozen years or so where it was kind of a roll of the dice each day.
There were some things, there were some decisions that were suspect, but it was 1998. It was a gentler time.
It was.
And it was a time
really
where
was.
You really could live in YMCAs and, ride buses around. It was different.
Yeah. All right. Good question. Good mailbag. And that's it for today's edition of the ATL Debate Club. It's kind of like that music, too, and we'll listen to the music on the playout, too. It never reminded me of it when we first had it playing, but it does kind of remind me of the old Mike and the Mad Dog theme. It's almost like, I think that's Dick Banks, Sheck's loyal right-hand man
it is,
for
yeah.
all things music. But it kind of sounds like the old WFAN, that guy's voice. It has a similar vibe, doesn't it?
It does. I think we learned today, too, that doing a show with two people is not as easy as with four.
No, not as easy, but you know what? I think we came through it with the help of Connor Orr, with the help of the Irishman, and we'll be back, as he said, on Monday with the full team for the first time in 3 weeks, so that'll be a lot of fun. But until then, this is Dan Hansis signing off for the Sizzler and the Irishman behind the glass. Play us out, Irish!
Hanzus and Mr. Fancy Pants. The Flames need NFL news, and here's their chance. It's ATL around the league. Light a flame, boys. Pigskin's hot tonight. Burn, baby, burn.
Well, I know my name is Irish, and I love to do drawings. Well, I love to draw all day long, so won't you do drawings with me?